For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What have you done now?
Can you dig it, sucker?
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Just talk a little sports and entertainment, a little wrestling now. And every day, and all in between, coming to you from ESPN 975, 925, guys. Wrestling, yes. Man.
We have a few things we got to talk about in the world of wrestling. We have more super chats.
We got to talk about a couple of things. We'll get to super chatters.
Where do you want to go first?
One thing we got to talk about is Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Randy Orton, we definitely want to talk about Mandy Rose. Perhaps the return of Mandy Rose, or perhaps the retirement of Randy Orton. Let's talk about Randy first, man. Randy's he's been off ever since dropping the tag team championships. RK-Bro dropping the tag team championships. He's been off. I didn't know what Randy was dealing with, but Randy has always been a guy he's been very durable. He hadn't been a guy that has been injury prone or anything like that, taking time off. But he's always dealt with like little ailments, like his shoulder. Always had a bad shoulder. He always had this thing, like this little flex thing he would use. I would see him with that thing every day, working with it, working his shoulder, back issues, some minor stuff, But one thing about the business, we talk about it all the time. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt all the time. It's just a hurt business. Being injured is something that's totally different. And obviously he's dealing with an injury now because – from what I was reading, the doctors are advising Randy Orton to not come back to in-ring competition. I don't know how true that is, but if it is true, I know what Randy Orton is going through. Doctor advised me, same thing, not to return back to the ring because of neck issues from a full-time perspective. That's why I totally took an exit from the ring when I did because of curvature in my neck could get to the point to where it could start messing with the nerves, tingling in the hands, whatnot, numbness, and then it could lead to paralysis and whatnot. Doctor told me you can stop. We don't have to have surgery. You can keep going if we do the surgery. So I chose hey, let me take a step back. So I do know what Randy may be perhaps going through at this point in time. It's not easy. It's not easy to hear a doctor tell you that you got to stop doing something that you love doing. Also, you're going to say, man, now let me go get a second opinion. I got to get another. It's one of those type of deals, but I tell you, if this is the case, man, my heart goes out to Randy. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully we'll see Randy back inside the square circle again. But when doctors start talking like that, sometimes you just got to listen.
Yeah, it was his father who said, the doctors are telling him this, and, he's trying to... I didn't realize that he'd been out over a year already. Over a year already he's been out, and I knew that he had kind of like an undisclosed back issue, but they didn't really say anything. And here's the thing. Maybe it's one of those kind of situations where time off will actually help, right? If you go back to Shawn... Well, think about it. Just think about it. Shawn Michaels was out 4 years with a back injury and then came back and was arguably better than he was previously.
You know what? People can say that, but Shawn would beg to differ, I think. He made you feel like you were still seeing the same Shawn Michaels, the Shawn Michaels of old. But Shawn Michaels, for myself, when Shawn came back, you could see he had lost a step.
Really? I didn't see that.
See, he wasn't the same Shawn Michaels. But he was still able to go out there and through his magistry of being able to go out there and make you believe in something, being a great, great magician. That's what this kid, that's what that guy did back then. But Sean had lost a step when he came back. That back injury is something that if you've ever had back surgery, you're going to tell the person that's perhaps thinking about it, don't do it if you don't have to. Seriously, because everybody that have had back surgeries, neck fusion, there's no way you can come back and do this after having, you know, those kind of procedures. It's no way. It's just no way you could do it. You know, so like I say, for me, if it's true, man, take a step away and, you know, you've had a hell of a run. You're a Hall of Famer, kid. You've done everything in this business. And it seemed like it happened overnight. But Randy Orton, he's a veteran now. I think Randy got 20 years in.
Oh, easily. Yeah, 2021 maybe even. Yeah. I think he made his main roster debut in 2002, and I think he signed to FCW in 2000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Randy, he put in this, you know, that's that mark we all look for. We always wish we could push it a little bit past that mark. And Randy seemed to have been one of those guys who haven't aged a whole lot.
You know, he looks the same.
He's still that same Randy Orton. Of course, he's got
more tattoos. More
grizzle. He's got more grizzle. Yeah. You know what I mean? He looks, you know, a little bit harder, you know what I mean? But he's still Randy Orton, you know what I mean?
But you want to also talk about a guy who never lost a step. Randy, you cannot tell me, if you look at a match with Randy Orton from 2021 and 2010 and then 2005, that guy always put on the same quality.
Yeah, Randy's a guy that you're not going to be able to tell when he loses a step also, you know, just because of the way he work, the way he perform. Everything's methodical. Everything is thought about. You know what I mean? Everything has a forethought. You know, so with Randy, you know, his movements was never too quick to where he had to, you know, do anything but keep up with someone, you know. So Randy was a very, very good worker, but he was a smart worker more so than anything.
I would hate for this, you know, I mean, look, no one gets to choose how they ride off into the sunset, right? Not everyone's Peyton Manning who wins the Super Bowl and retires. You know, it's a one in a million that happens. You know, Triple H just retired last year officially after, you know, having the heart issues that he was having last year. Didn't get to have like a real last match, which is fine. You know, not everyone needs it. But it would suck for Randy to have to just go out without the pageantry. You know, to know, hey, this is my last tour, brother. The way that I think like The Undertaker knew, like, hey, I only have a couple of these left. This is going to be it. Sometimes you want that closure of the situation. And I think that, I still feel like we're gonna have Randy back, but you know what? If it's against his health long term, you know, I don't want him back.
Yeah, that's what me personally. Like I say, Randy's, you know, if we see him again, it's gonna be great. But you know, I feel like Randy's, you know, from a soldier's perspective, he's done his work, man. He's done his work, and like you say, it would suck to not be able to have that last run. Mm-hmm. You know, and be able to go out on your own terms. That's the part that sucks. You know, for me, I've had a chance to, you know, get back in the ring and experience it a couple of times, you know, after, you know, the doctor told me I need to step away. But then the doctor told me, well, you can go do this one match. But then you got to step away again. But you can do this one match. but for me, I understand exactly what that doctor's talking about, because after the Rumble, I had like a little tingling in my finger, you know, so it just reminded me that problem hadn't gone away or anything, you know, and if I was out there doing this on a regular basis, I could really be putting my life in bad, bad situation.
Right. And that's not something that we ever want anybody to do, let alone, you know, Randy Orton, yourself, or anybody, you know what I mean? Like, this thing's all about entertainment, and, you know, that's what we want at the end of the day. But it's not worth anything more than that. That's why, like, when you have these moments where Edge can come back and go for a little series, or Daniel Bryan can have another run, like, it's always nice to have. But I never want to see anything like that if it's going to mean long-term impacts on the performer. You know, look at Austin. Austin had neck issues, and he stopped wrestling for 20 years before he did one match. He did one match in the last 20 years, you know?
I'm sure he felt like it, you know, like he had been wrestling for 20 years after that one match.
That man was crazy. He took a suplex on the concrete. I said, this man is bold. He's bold.
If I'm going to do it, I might as well go all the way out.
Golly, man. But it was an awesome moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So for Randy, I feel like we see him back. And if we don't, first time Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time, top 75 all time. We were talking about that with the NBA last episode. Randy's top 75 all time, you know, of all time great wrestlers. And he's probably way higher than 75 when you really look at
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Randy's top 30. Yeah.
Easy. All time guy. He's an all time guy. He checks a lot of the boxes, like we always talk about that list. Iconic, iconic. You know, iconic entrance, great music, great look, never out of shape, always
Multiple world champions.
Multiple world champions, one of the best finishers in the history of the business. You know, he's the guy. Randy's the guy, man. And we'll see. We'll see what the future holds for him. I feel like he's back, but we'll see.
Like I say, man, I'm not going to, you know, count him out or anything like that, but look at that neck injury, that you know, C4, C5, and all. I heard Kevin Nash talking about that is about how his neck is getting worse again. I know he had that procedure done to it, you know, a few years back.
Yeah.
But say his doctor, you know, looked at another scan and said it's getting bad again. You know, so stuff like that, man. You know, you just don't want to mess with it because you know, when you get paralysis, there's no reversing that. You know.
No, that's it.
That sucks right there. That happened to Paul Orndorff. He had nerve damage. That's one of his arms, and he never could reverse that process. So definitely not something you want to mess around with. We've got to take a break, guys. We've got to take a break. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back.
Choose you. You ain't gotta be the only one. We could be two. I see you over there.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN
97.5 and on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
You could be my island mommy. No, we probably got to do some jazz, but I'll be doing just a second. Mandy Rose, girl, you're perfect. About the lady want to turn to the square circle, maybe coming back to the WWE. That's just a rumor. It's just a rumor. I saw a post or something. It was short. It was quick. It was sweet. But right now in the cycle, people talking about Mandy Rose maybe coming back. You know, what's crazy is so many people, you know, like when Mandy Rose was a champ, so many people hated on Mandy Rose. And then as soon as she left, so many people loved Mandy Rose. And that I can't wait for her to get back. Me personally, I've always was, one of the latter. I always loved Mandy Rose. I mean, it's just tough enough. Watch how hard she worked to get a shot at being a part of the WWE roster. She didn't even win the contest, but man, she went all out as far as trying to pull that thing off. And I gave her a whole lot of credit. And then to make it to the main roster, and that thing didn't work out for her. And then to go back and recreate herself in NXT, man, she did a hell of a job. I tell you, Toxic Attraction was the talk of the town, the talk of NXT for so long. And then what happened. But for me personally, question is, would you like to see Mandy Rose back in the WWE? Me personally, I would. I'd love to see Mandy back.
Well, yes, of course. Of course I'd like to see Mandy Rose. I thought, you know, in all honesty, the run that she was on at NXT showed that she was a box office commodity and somebody who you could bank on, quite literally. She was the longest reigning NXT champion. That's not just because she looked good, right? It's because she was able to put on compelling stories, good matches. She had the best matches of her career when she was in NXT. She never worked at that level on the main roster that I can remember. And she got an opportunity to really hone her craft and become a character. Before, when she was on the main roster, I felt that she was just kind of she was a pretty face in a lot of ways. It's how she was utilized, right? But then when she got to NXT, that character developed, and then she led the Toxic Attraction, and it was all box office. And I, although understood and still understand why the powers that be made the decision that they made. And I'm not saying that I disagree with that decision either. However, I see the appeal of having Mandy Rose on your roster. That's a piece that you know you can always go to. Like, hey, man, we can get Mandy in this story. Boom. We can do something out of it. You know what I mean?
That's a piece you can always go to. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you? You didn't mean to say it like that. I
give us some Roni, brother. Oh, yeah.
I just caught that. Man. I don't know. You said it. I didn't say it. You could have phrased that differently, okay? But you did. You said it's a piece you can always go to. That's what you said.
And if you find the tenderoni that is right for you.
Oh, man, nah, Mandy, she get my vote. I'm getting back in the WWE. Like I say, I really feel like that was a situation. There again, she put herself in mm-hmm. that something could happen, and it did. I don't know if it was something that you know she wanted to happen or something like that. I don't know if it was just pushing the envelope. I don't know what it was, but it seemed like it just came out of the blue. It seemed like it came out of nowhere. That's why for me, for Mandy, hopefully to get another shot, another run in the WWE main roster, NXT, I really don't care. I just hope she get a chance to get back in there and prove that, man, she still got this, man. She still can be one of the best.
She definitely can be. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, and the thing is, they've released people before and they bring them back all the time, you know? And like, you know, who's a great example of that? And it's not anywhere near the same situation or the reason for the release. But Zelina Vega, remember they let go of Zelina. She was gone.
It was a TikTok thing though, right?
Yeah, I think it was a Twitch.
Twitch. Yeah. Twitch.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, she didn't want to give up the Twitch or whatever the story was at the time, but then they bring her back and she just had the biggest match of her career. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like business never gets in the way.
Yeah, I can see that door opening, and hopefully it will, seriously.
And I'm surprised. Like, I saw for the first time the Warrior documentary, the Ultimate Warrior documentary they did for A&E.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it back in the day. And I just watched
it. It buried it.
Well, not that one. I'm sorry. What I said back in the day, last year.
Not the Hit Job?
Not the Self-Destruction DVD.
Oh, the latest one.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was pretty good.
That Self-Destruction one was crazy. Like, when I look back at it, it's wild. But this latest one, it was the first time I watched it. And I guess I just never realized how many times they let him go and brought him back. But in defense of the Warrior, man, I don't know. That pop he got when his music hit at SummerSlam, when he went and beat Honky for the title, Honky Tonk, that was a huge pop, man. And it's probably one of the greatest moments in SummerSlam history. It was 38 seconds. The Warrior had it all, really, as far as the look and the entrance and the connection with the people.
Yeah, but he had it all and he lost it.
The funniest part of the documentary, you know, the funniest part. I guess he did something where he ran into a kid at an airport and wasn't really nice to the kid and, you know, told him to go F off or whatever. And the kid's parents happened to know Vince McMahon.
Oh, he had to shoot that promo.
And he had to shoot the apology video. Yeah. And the behind the scenes of Vince talking him through it was so funny. You know, Warrior gets into character, the power of the Warrior. What am I doing this for, man? What am I doing this for? And Vince goes, it's a work. It's a effing work. All right? Just apologize in character. It's a work. And Warrior was so pissed. He was so pissed. I don't even know what I'm doing this for.
Oh, my God.
What am I apologizing for? What am I doing this for? It's an effing work.
Yeah, remember that he had his white boots on. Warrior style. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God, man.
It's hilarious, man. But they brought him back because it was good business. That's all I was saying.
When you're making money like that, man, when you're putting behind the seats there again, you selling pay-per-views. You know, the arenas are sold out. Fans are going crazy. Merchandise. That's power, bro. It's power anywhere in the world. I know we got a few super chats. Let's get to them.
We do. We do. Let me get to the next one. This is from Kappa Owen.
Super chat.
Brad Book, who you with? Seth Rollins or old TNA veteran AJ Styles? They're going to be clashing at the Night of Champions for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I feel like you do it. I feel like it's Seth. I feel like it's Seth.
I don't know, man. I mean, it could be either one of these guys. You know, I can't discount AJ because, you know, he hadn't been in that picture in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And for AJ to be the guy to win that title first, not being a WWE original, it'll be huge. It'll be huge. Seth Rollins, of course, everybody, you know, the odds on favorite, I think, is Seth. You know, I think we've said that since the outset as far as, you know, who should be the one candidate who should perhaps win this thing. I think you and I both agreed it was Seth Rollins. But I didn't see AJ in the equation.
True.
I didn't look at AJ as being, you know, the guy, you know, opposite Seth Rollins. I didn't look at that at all. And for me, both of those guys are capable of going out there and stealing the damn show, no doubt. But both of those guys, you know, are capable of, you know, being the first, you know, newly crowned world heavyweight champion as well.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that this is one of the few times that I think that you find yourself in a situation like this, that no matter who wins, one, the audience isn't upset, and two, everybody wins. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. You can refresh my memory. When the last time, Seth Rollins and AJ wrestled?
I'm sure it's happened. But I don't remember.
It seemed like it has been so long ago. It seemed like these guys have never met before.
It almost does feel that way.
That's what it seems like to me.
Let's see.
Especially because AJ like been quiet for the last year and a half, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And now AJ, we know what AJ can do in the middle of the square circle. We know AJ is top flight as far as one of the best guys that ever put on a pair of boots. We know that. We know that this match could be a 10 anywhere in the world. So that right there, having AJ in this match, really makes it compelling to me.
So I agree with you. The last time they actually wrestled was on the March 21st edition of Monday Night Raw in 2022. The reason why I don't think I remember that is because that was when Seth was doing the story that he wanted a match at WrestleMania and he couldn't get a match. And he was wrestling someone every week for an opportunity to, you know, get a match at WrestleMania. And he ended up,
yeah, but like I said, it didn't have any significance.
No, I agree. I don't remember it at all.
There was no angle.
No.
This, like I said, it feels like AJ and Seth Rollins to me for the first time. And for the world title, man, that just makes the stakes that much higher. So I'm loving, both of these guys being in this matchup. We got to take a break, though. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
Hop. Joins me now on the show, Mr. Henry Winkler.
Hi, call me Henry.
Oh, Henry, how are you doing, sir? I did it again.
I am so good. How is Houston?
Houston, you know, we got a little rain going on, but other than that, we're all right.
Because one of my heroes is there. George Foreman, the heavyweight champion of the world, lives in Houston.
He does. Proud Houstonian. Proud Houstonian. Great world champion.
And I traveled the world with him when we did Better Late Than Never.
How was that? How was it going around with George Foreman?
George, I'll tell you what, George has a talent. Not only is he a great fighter, not only is he really a lovely man. We had a great time together with his son, Big Wheel. But I will tell you, he has an art. He can sit down in any chair and fall asleep within 4 or 5 seconds.
I'm envious of that.
I watched it happen in Japan. I watched it happen in Germany. I watched it happen in Spain. He is magnificent at that.
Well, you know what? You are magnificent in HBO's Barry. Season 4 is going on right now. The fourth and final season. I mean, is it going to be hard for you to say goodbye to this wonderful show?
You know what? You know, absolutely. Now, do I understand, as the adult in me, the producer in me, understands it was time. Bill Hader and Alec Berg, who created the show, are both moving on to do other things. But I will tell you that I'm going to miss the people. I'm going to miss the crew. Hi.
Hey, there we are. You're going to miss the people.
You know,
you're going to miss the crew.
I'm going to miss the people. I'm going to miss the crew. The crew, they take such good care of you. If you respect the crew, they will make sure you are wrapped in bubble wrap.
That is a very true statement. You know, in the television projects that I've been involved with, the first person I always talk to are the cameraman, the lighting guy, the key grip, every one of the staff because and the crew, because without them, the show doesn't work.
And now, you know, the writers are on strike. And if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. I mean, the writers are the beginning and the end.
You're absolutely right. Now, when it comes to this show, I heard you one time talk about the greatness of Jack Nicholson and how he's so intertwined with his characters that you couldn't even put a piece of paper between them. But I feel like
he's my idol.
He's incredible. He's one of the greatest of all time. But I feel like that's how you've been with the character Gene in Barry. This character is so multifaceted. It's so layered. It can be funny, dark, depressing, scary, intimidating, powerful, all in one performance. How have you been able to juggle the multiple layers of Gene in Barry?
Okay. First of all, thank you. What a nice, what a great compliment. Second of all, the writing and Bill Hader. And Alec Berg, the directors, and I will tell you that your job as an actor is to hear what the writer says, what the director says, and then go and finish off their vision.
Now, have you had a moment on set, Barry, you know, in all four seasons to where you felt very strongly that your character would act this way in the scene, and then Bill or the writers disagreed with that vision?
You know, I have to tell you that I've had discussions with Bill when he directed all 8 episodes this year. And I had discussions with him. But ultimately, he is kind. He listens to you. You get to do what you're thinking. And then ultimately try what his image is, what his dream is for the scene. And usually he's right.
Well, I think that it's nice, though, to have a director, although everyone has their different processes. I've heard Quentin Tarantino say, look, I hire actors to say the words that I wrote. That's what I want. But it is nice to have some breathability, especially in a series where you're kind of developing this character over a long period of time, to say, you know what, I think I know this guy by now, Bill. Let me try this.
Well, you know what? It's so interesting you say that, because I had that discussion with Bill and Alec the beginning of the second season. I said, guys, I don't recognize the Gene Cousineau of this season to the one I just finished. And they said, we're never going to repeat ourselves. And do not worry, the jokes will come, but this is where we're going. We're never going to duplicate.
You've been an iconic character in many different television series. I mean, you obviously go back to Fonzie and Happy Days. I loved you as Eddie R. Lawson in one of my favorite shows, Royal Pains, which ran for several seasons. You were great in that show. Is it?
That happened to me so many times. I'm so lucky. I'm hired to just do like a few episodes, and I stay for 5 years. The same thing happened on Arrested Development.
Arrested Development?
I was just going to be in a few scenes as their lawyer. But the guys on the guys in the Hamptons,
Royal Pains,
they are all friends. Royal Pains, they are all friends.
It was a great show, but I guess my question is this: it's a gift and a curse for an actor to be so iconic in a certain role to where then when you try to pursue other things, people only see you as that character. How were you able to break that mold?
You know, I'll tell you exactly. You have to will it. Because when I finished The Fonz, I was unhirable as an actor. And that's when I became a producer. My lawyer, Skip, he said to me, I'm going to start a production company for you. And I said, I'm dyslexic. I can't do that. He said, you'll learn. And the first show that we sold was MacGyver.
Well, that turned out pretty good for you.
It turned out pretty good.
You know, I think that we are, though, so much, Henry, of, you know, we're products of our environment, and what happens to us as children really impact us so greatly when we become adults of our own. What influence did your parents have on you? Because I've heard you talk about them with great reverence. How did they help you get to where you are today?
You know, I just finished writing my autobiography, and it comes out this October, and I talk a lot about my parents. I respected their strength to move from one country to another, to start a new life in America. I had a good education, although I couldn't really participate because I'm so dyslexic. But they did not see me as an individual. And I think no matter what your struggle is, you've got to take 1 minute and look at the child in front of you and see who they are as human beings.
Wow, that's very powerful. Yeah, I mean, recognize the unique contributions that an individual can make to society, even if they are, like you said, your child. My father,
you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, Lynn Oliver and I traveled all over the country with our children's books. And you go into a classroom and you ask one question. Hey, does anybody know what they're great at? Every child knows what they're great at. One kid said, I'm good at breathing. One kid said, I'm good at soccer. One kid said, I'm good at logarithms. I said, well, that makes one of us.
No, absolutely. So, well, Henry, it's been a phenomenal time to talk to you. All the work that you're doing is great. Barry is great. Much continued success to you, sir, because it has been an honor just to watch you on the screen and share a few minutes of conversation with you.
Wow, thank you so much, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
You as well. Henry Winkler, everyone.
I just wanna free fall like the rain.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Shup! Welcome back to the Hall of Fame, guys. We're feeling a super jazz, Brad. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, our next one is from Cap Owens again,
Super who says, sad.
Brad, Bookman, what are your thoughts on Bray Wyatt? Story came out today that Bray Wyatt's no longer listed on the internal rosters. I have no idea if that's true, false, or in between. We haven't seen Bray since right before WrestleMania when he kind of was working the angle with Bobby Lashley and then disappeared for whatever reason it is. I don't think we ever found out. What do you think about it, Book? I would like to say that myself, along with most other wrestling fans, felt this well-built-up return. Great, excellent build for the return. There hasn't been a lot of juice left in that squeeze.
A lot of juice left in that squeeze.
It made sense when I said it. The phrase is juice is worth the squeeze.
Juice, yeah, yeah. I think squeeze the juice better.
Yeah, not a lot of squeeze left in that juice or whatever juice, I said.
Yeah. That's better.
Left in that squeeze.
Picking up some new quotes here.
Hey man, I'm trying to give you some material.
Get his quote book together. Oh man, but Bray Wyatt is I don't know, man. You know, it's hard. It's hard to put a finger on what Bray Wyatt has been since he's been back. You know, you remember what we talked about when Bray first came back? And I said, only way this thing is going to work is Bray evolve into a regular person. I said, this Firefly Funhouse thing and the magic, you can only take it so far, because one thing about this business, the fans are looking to see a good match. That's what this business has been predicated on since day one. Storylines has always been great, but the payoff, the Undertaker's career wouldn't have lasted 30 years if he wasn't a hell of a performer.
Yeah.
I mean, the show, the darkness, the smoke, the flashlight, back in the day that you had to bring a real lighter, you know what I mean? Then it evolved to the cell phone, you know what I mean? Do you think the Undertaker could have gone through all of that, those eras, decade after decade after decade, if he wasn't a hell of a performer in ring?
No
Mick
chance.
Mick Foley. You think people would have bought Mick Foley just being a guy that just jumped off stuff if he wasn't the guy that compelled you when you watched him?
Right.
He was willing to die in the middle of that ring. He was like Evel Knievel. That was the most compelling thing about watching Mick Foley, because he was going to do something, death-defying. You know what I mean? So I think that's the problem that Bray Wyatt has had, being that magical creature and not being able to go out there and have, I wouldn't even call them 5-star matches or anything like that, but just really good matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what's held, Bray Wyatt back more than anything. And has he had that opportunity to go out and have those kind of matches? I think he's worked some good enough guys to be able to go out and have some memorable matches to where you go, not only is he one-dimensional, two-dimensional. Oh, man, this guy's three-dimensional. He takes you everywhere. That's what I mean when I talk like that. It's just like Elias. Let's take Elias for a second. I'm not trying to get away from Bray.
Yeah.
But I say Elias. I say, man, you got the body. I say, master your singing and your guitar, touch. So when you do go out there, you really are doing a mini concert. And then, oh man, but you got to still be able to go out there and work and perform. And can you imagine having all of that in one?
Yeah.
Star, baby, that star. I said, man, when you're not here, you're doing a concert somewhere. You're making money. I'm serious, So it's like, I think that's what's missing with Bray. Bray has never had a chance to really show, is he three-dimensional.
I agree with pretty much everything that you said.
Well,
give us some Roni, brother. Oh, yeah.
I'm just giving it to you straight.
But
you can pick this up on the sites.
They're all going to pick it up.
Sound like something I didn't say, but I'm just saying, Bray Wyatt has never really had a chance to show us, if he's a really good worker, how good of a worker he really is.
I know I have more to say on this subject, but however, we got about 7 super chats in about 6 minutes. So let's just move them on through. This one, next one is from Callie again. How is Roman just in a tag title match? On top of everything, he'll probably win it. I'd rather see KO and Sammy go against the Street Profits or Dom and Damian Priest. So he's competing for the tag titles with Solo Sikoa at the Night of Champions.
Night of Champions, man, those matches are, spectacles. I don't look at those matches like regular matches that we're going to be seeing over here on a regular basis or anything like that. So if it was here, it would be totally different than it is over there. That's a promotional tool. That right there is, all about giving those people what they want, pretty much. And if we could bring back the Ultimate Warrior, he'll be there too.
100%. Let me go on to the next one. We just got to do quick answers on these. This is from Ross Ferguson. Booker T, who trained you and who are your influences?
And I got knowledge from a guy by the name of Scott Casey. He didn't teach me anything about wrestling moves or anything like that. He just taught me psychology and why things were done the way they should be done. I went to Ivan Putski's wrestling school, but influence is probably my biggest influence in this business. My guy who mentored me when I got to WCW, and that was my man, Ron Simmons.
And it's actually Ron Simmons' birthday today, so happy birthday, to Ron Simmons. This is from Cap Owen. Since my girl Lacey Evans seems to be off on some secret military mission, we could use Mandy Rose back. Toxic Attraction needs her back definitely. Even though they're not a team anymore, yeah, we could definitely use Mandy Rose on the roster.
Yes, indeed, man. I agree with everything right there. And when I say everything, I mean everything.
All right. Our next one here is from John Amazing, who said, Book, in your prime, which current star would you have loved to create magic with like you did with Stone Cold?
In my prime, talking about somebody current on the roster today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I always talk about Roman. I'm always give Roman that prop, you know. But I don't know. Maybe I think I would have wanted to hook up with Logan Paul.
Ooh.
And test that kid and see, you know, if he's built for this business. Maybe Logan Paul.
Logan Paul and you could have a great match. Really physical match.
Yeah, I will whoop his. Yeah, yeah.
Say it.
I'm just saying.
And it is funny because they said prime and he has the prime drink. Ross Ferguson said, I'm sorry to ask again. Oh, well, we already answered that one, Ross. Big Breezo said, how do you feel about star ratings in general for matches?
You know what? I mean, I agree with star ratings. I don't mind, you know, a five-star rating if a match is five stars. But that kind of stuff is always up for interpretation. You know what I mean? It's always going to be your perspective, the way you see it, what you look at in wrestling, especially today. Today's wrestling is a whole lot different than it was yesterday. And these the fans look at it totally different as well. You know what I mean? A five-star back then, Steamboat Savage may not be a five-star match to the fans today.
Right. Right. It's interesting how they change over time because you could show – you could show a kid the greatest movie ever made, Godfather Part II, today, and they'd be like, this movie's boring.
Exactly.
Trash. You know what I
mean?
Trash.
It's up for interpretation. It's towards a five-star match. You know, Steamboat Savage, to me, every time's a five-star match. Every single time. Every single time I watch it, you know. And it never gets old. So I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's an incredible match, by the way. If y'all have never seen it, go for it. Virgil Dawkins said, Booker, why don't you get the respect you deserve, especially considering your 98 to 2001 WCW run? I see you in the same conversation as HBK and Eddie Guerrero.
Well, I think I get the respect. I got two Hall of Fame rings. Ain't too many people got that. Ain't too many people reached the level that I've reached in this business. I think my respect is what I said. It really is. I don't know too many guys in the business that, you know, have the respect that I have, you know, in this business. I really don't, you know, so I really feel like I didn't just get the respect. I earned it. I took it. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's up for one's opinion, but I think I'm very well respected. I think I get my just due as well.
I think so. But I will agree with this point.
They should
too.
Be paying me more though. They should be paying me more.
Well, we can always make more, brother. I will say that you've gotten more respect as time has gone on. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the last 5 years, I feel like your name's like in more conversations than it was the 5 years prior to that.
Wrestling put me in a position, man. It was a tool. I used that tool, and I parlayed that success into what I do now. Like, you know, like we say, when we go to the boxing matches, I'm more known than most of the boxers. You know, the boxers want to hang out and get photos with me. I was just hanging out with Mayweather Sr. not too long ago, and they want to hang out with me. So that... You know, my thing is, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be in this position that I'm in. But it came with a lot of hard work, sacrifice, trial, and tribulation, no doubt. Don't think that it just happened by the slippage of the old banana peel. It did not. All by osmosis. Oh, no. Oh, no. It didn't work like that.
Right. Well, Book, look, we got to send them home. We've had a hell of a show.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a show, man. I want to thank all the super chatters, man. Everybody in the comment section, man. We appreciate you guys for stepping inside the Hall of Fame. Get your champagne wishes, caviar dreams. Bradley, as always, man, appreciate you, man, for all the heavy lifting Inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Same place, same time, next time. Here, Inside the Hall of Fame. But right now, peace. I love you. We out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.